Today's opening prayer, we pray that God may deepen our sense of reverence. I think that is sort of a fitting prayer for us. And I think it is fitting for us to recall the importance of reverence, especially in today's world where things have gotten to be really, really secular. It's something I often examine in my own conscience because I'm constantly around sacred things. We should have reverence towards sacred things. Reverence is sort of just an awe, a respect for something that is majestic, such as a sacred thing. As I've mentioned before, the Greek word for sacred has this connotation of being set apart for God. Each one of us in baptism becomes sacred, set apart for God. Our church is sacred. It's set apart for God. That's why it doesn't look like our living rooms, right? It has its own purpose to worship God. The sanctuary, especially, is sort of the Holy of Holies. It is the most sacred because God will dwell on the altar here. Paul, in his second reading, he creates this juxtaposition. He points out that in the past, Mount Sinai became holy. It became sacred because God upon it gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And if you look in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, when God was present upon it, could not be touched. The people could not walk on it. It was sacred. They had to have reverence towards it. And what Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews is if that was the case of Mount Sinai, then how much more is it for us now, especially in our sanctuary, especially in our church, where God himself dwells in the Most Holy Eucharist. The rhythm of the Mass used to point this out clearly and starkly. Back in the day, in the old 62 Mass, the priest would stop at the bottom step before he even entered into the sanctuary, and he used to pray what were called the prayers at the foot of the altar. I know many of you have told me that when you were growing up and you were serving, you remember learning the responses in Latin, and you and the priest would dialogue back and forth. Because it was in Latin and you were little, you probably didn't know what you were doing. But what the priest is doing is he's going through this long penitential rite. He's making an act of contrition. He's reciting a psalm. He's acknowledging his own sinfulness, his own unworthiness, before he enters into the sanctuary. He's placing upon his mind and upon his lips a sense of reverence for a sacred thing. That's also why back in the day, sometimes you would see churches with three steps going into the sanctuary. We only have two here. But there was often three. And sometimes they would paint on them Sanctus. Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. They were called the Sanctus steps. Sanctus is a Latin word which means holy. And it recalls a scene in Isaiah, when the prophet Isaiah appears before the presence of God and he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." And the angels who are around the throne of God, they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy," which is a Hebrew way of saying, "Most holy." And so you had the song two steps to remind you that you were entering into the presence of God in the Eucharist and into his sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. This is also why we still sing the Holy of Holy at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. We're recalling the fact that just as Isaiah entered into the presence of God, so are we, through the Eucharist, entering into the very presence of God. So we have sacred places, but then we have the most sacred thing on earth, which is the Eucharist. So our reverence has to sort of be heightened for the Eucharist. This is why in most priestly examination of consciences, they will ask a question. They will ask the priest, "Do you treat every particle of the host with dignity? Just as every drop of water is water, so every drop, every particle of the host is Jesus." This is why sometimes you've noticed I hold my fingers together during the Eucharistic prayer. After I have consecrated Jesus, I have touched his body and blood, I now have particles on my fingers, so I keep them together, or I wipe them on the corporal, so that I may have reverence towards him. This is also why the chalice is veiled. It's why we have a fancy chalice. Every night before I go to bed, I drink a little glass of wine, a little port, out of a normal glass. My chalice is for holding God, for holding the blood of Christ. So it shouldn't be a normal glass. It should be set apart. It's sacred. It's veiled. This is also why we purify the vessels after the Eucharistic prayer, after communion. It is to remove those particles, to treat them with reverence. It's also why there are various genuflections during the Eucharistic prayer, or genuflections to the tabernacle. They're all supposed to be these psychological reminders that we are in the presence of something extraordinarily sacred. It's sort of like when you walk into church and genuflect. It reminds you, Jesus is present in the tabernacle, and so I must have a certain reverence. I know some of you have mentioned to me you have found great devotion in receiving communion kneeling, because it reminds you that you are receiving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so you should have a posture of humility and reverence. All of this is important not just for liturgical practice, however. I think if we do not remember to show reverence towards God, then we will forget to have reverence towards ourselves, because our dignity is ultimately rooted in God. But we'll also forget to have reverence towards one another. And so as irreverence towards God and towards sacred things spreads throughout the world, irreverence towards ourselves and towards each other will spread. And so we have to consciously undo that. We have to remember to be reverent towards sacred things, towards God himself in the Eucharist. And then from that will flow reverence towards ourselves, our own dignity, but also reverence for one another. I know that the more reverently I celebrate the Mass, the more reverently I serve you and treat each one of you, because your dignity is rooted in the same God.